Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Meet the Shoe Podcast. I am Sade.
I'm Nina.
And today we're going to talk about Women's History Month. We are in the month of Women's History, March, all the way through March. And then International Day is March 8th for lovely women like me, you, Danina, and all the women that's watching right now. So what are the surprising facts that you heard?
So Women's History Month, Women's History, to recognize women and all their accolades and the things that they do for the world, was decided in 1986.
Okay.
14 states had declared March as Women's History Month, right?
14 states.
And that in 1986, it doesn't state the... this was in New York, right? Okay. It started off at Sarah Lawrence College in New York, where others were inspired to start their own week celebration.
Okay.
Right? So that was according to the group's website. And then it took years for Women's History Month to be federally recognized. In 1980, the National Women's History Project led a coalition of women's groups successfully lobbied President Jimmy Carter to issue a proclamation recognition of National Women's History Week. And that took until 1987, right? Okay. And then the U.S. President designated Women's History Month every year. Between 1988 and 1994, Congress passed resolutions requesting authorization for presidents to proclaim the special month. Since 1995, each president has issued an annual proclamation designated for Women's History Month.
Okay,
and then in 2011, President Obama paid homage to 100th anniversary of International Women's Day, saying the holiday is a chance to pay tribute to ordinary women throughout the world and rooted in women's centuries old struggle to participate in society on an equal footing with men.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, men, we're coming for you, right?
You want equal pay as well.
Right. And this year's theme will be to women who advocate for equality and diversity and inclusion. So Women's History Month is definitely celebrated in Canada.
Big time. They have parades.
Yes, they have a parade. They have a march. Theirs is in Women's History Month is generally commemorated in March. Canada holds theirs in October.
Okay.
But in the Philippines and in the UK, it's held in March. So Canada, theirs is in October. And then in China, many women can take a half a day holiday.
Ooh, that's nice. A half a day off work.
Yep. And in Siberia and Albany, International Women's Day is also Mother's Day. So they do their Mother's Day in March.
Okay. Huh.
Yeah, that's what it says in Serbia and Albany.
Okay. What struck me I like that they commemorated a designated color for the Women's International Day.
Yeah.
Like, wow. And it's purple, green, and white.
Yep, and that's in the UK.
And that's for the UK. And I think that's going to sit there and trickle down to the US. And
yeah, it says just what you said. It said in the early 90s and was transported to the US. So,
those two colors, I think it's pretty, you know? And I think, one of the sororities is pink and green. Okay, so purple and green. I could see that color, clash.
Yeah. Purple and green with a little bit of, so Friday you'll wear purple, green, and a little bit of white.
That's what we're supposed to do now. Hopefully I can find something purple green a little bit, make it look like it's together. You know what I'm saying? Because it is kind of a different color that's off. You know, you like, okay, purple and green. Yeah, I can see purple and white or green and white. But
right. And so in 2017, Women's March organized a day after Donald Trump's inauguration is planning a rally, which they had a rally on in 2017 in Washington, D.C. on March 26th. And the argument was Supreme Court hearing over oral argument in a case about the abortion bill.
Yes.
So a lot of women's women's laws are pushed in the month of March because it's our month, right? To recognize the things that we're trying to put on the floor or get passed, as they would say, right? Mm-hmm. And then the Supreme Court issued a temporary order in 2023 that put on hold Texas federal judges ordered to suspend the federal government's approval of the abortion bill. So that was last year, right? I don't know. Have you heard anything else about this bill? Because they've been doing in 2022 was when they did the Roe versus Wade, right? And then in 2023, that's when they had the argument about still about the bill in Texas.
And they still going through that. You know, I think a couple of other bills that have risen this month was the embryos. You know how a lot of mothers and been freezing their eggs, you know, to use it later down the line when they, you know, feel financially set as a family and ready to have children. They're trying to say that's going to be against the law. Because an embryo, the eggs, the embryo that's, you know, being transferred, they're trying to make that against the law now. And I feel that, you know, some people, you know, can't hold children or have children, but they want to. It's different. It's weird, to say the least.
There was an issue that was on Love and Hip Hop about Yandy. Speaking of embryos, right? Yandy's husband had a problem with her giving her egg to her cousin and then allowing someone else to be a surrogate to have a baby for her cousin. She was donating her embryo, you know, donating her egg to a surrogate, and then a surrogate which carried a child for her cousin because her cousin couldn't have kids. Right. Her husband had a real big problem because her husband was saying that his kids would have a whole nother sibling. And then so Yandy was trying to say, no, they wouldn't, because you're not going to use your sperm. They're not going to use his sperm, but they're going to use her egg. He has a real big problem with that, right?
Right. And a lot of people have problems. A lot of people having issues with that, I'm noticing, you know, so I don't know.
My significant other probably would have a problem with it because he is a male, and males generally don't have, you know, any understandings when it comes to female situation. Naturally, the husband or even the boyfriend, you know, would have an issue with their mate giving away something that's so, you know, special, right?
Right.
And I can understand why she wants to
help her cousin
because a cousin can't have kids, right?
Right.
Cousin's having a problem with giving birth. So she wants, that's her cousin. She wants to help her out. And it's all understandable. It does seem a little bit weird that, you know, you're married. I could see why he's thinking that. At the same time, He should have some form of transparency because that's something that Yandy wants to do with her body. But in the same breath,
they're married.
So they have to, they definitely have to give grace to
each other,
but he doesn't have to agree. So that's where the, you know, conflict and confrontation is, mm-hmm. right?
But you know, when you think about it, when men give up their sperm for a family to have babies, sometimes they're kind of not being noticed as they're the sperm donor. They're hoping that, okay, I'm just giving out sperm and you don't lead me back to it. But a lot of times it's being led back to who the father is later on down the line, especially when those kids are old enough to know, okay, I want to know who's my father.
Definitely, because that kid is going to come looking. Because there was a situation where I seen a special to where it was a lot of majority of white women. They were lived in this town, and mm-hmm. they went back to see who they belonged to. These kids were in their, these grown adults, excuse me, were in their 20s, because right. embryos have just become popular within like the late 90s, early 2000s, yeah. right? So some in the 90s, right? Really wealthy people were able to pay for surrogates and, yeah. you know, the eggs and all that, and the in vitros and all this stuff, right?
Right.
So these kids were in between the from 30 years on back, right, to like okay. 18.
Okay.
There was a doctor that donated his sperm.
Yeah, wait a minute. Did he mean to donate his sperm to this sperm bank, or was he actually, I can't remember.
He donated his sperm to this bank. He knew what he was doing, because when they went back to ask him questions about why did you do this, he was being sued. He had no comment. His wife had no comment. He embarrassed him and his wife. He knew what he was doing. It's just a sick fetish. You know, a lot of times when these doctors have control over the things that we don't, they get, you know, a fetish. Look at the doctor that had brought a woman was under anesthesia and she was getting some kind of surgery done. And the doctor had inserted his penis in her mouth while she was under.
You remember
so
that?
So you got to yes. think of the things, you know, as we're celebrating Women's History Month, but these are some of the things that we go through as women.
Yeah.
That we constantly have to go through as women with the discrimination and just the disrespect, you know what I'm saying? And this is on every level. It's not even a color thing. It's just women on the things and right. the ways that we are continue to fight to get the things that we need, to pass exactly. the laws that we need to pass, to get in a position, like you said, to get equal rights. We're still fighting on equal rights. Forget about equal pay. We never get right. that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Definitely. But yeah, Women History Month should be celebrated. We should celebrate yourself and others celebrate women. You men celebrate right. That's all we ask. And with that being said, while we're talking about political, truckers for Trump.
Yeah.
So New York News, probably mm-hmm. 4 days ago when President Trump got the verdict of being guilty of whatever, you know, the stuff he's got going on in New York.
Guilty or not guilty?
Was it not guilty?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking, because I don't.
I think he was guilty because he had to pay that woman all that money back. So, yes. He has okay. to pay that 30-something million, the sex case. All the truckers in New York
okay.
are saying boycott. They're boycotting their. They're not doing any deliveries. They're just, I think New York is thinking about a state of emergency shutdown.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because of that, because they're not able to transport anything. The grocery store is not going to have any food, tissue, anything like that. So I don't know. We need to really look more into it. Because mm-hmm. a lot of people have been going to grocery stores and stocking up, stockpiling.
Right.
In New York area. So I don't know. The truck is for Trump. Hopefully it does not trickle down to other states. That's the thing.
Okay. But if there's loads that have to come from the East Coast to the Midwest, or from the Midwest to the East Coast, that's going to affect even from coast to coast. It's going to always affect the East. It's always going to affect us, because there's a lot of supplies that just come from East Coast, because that's a major port over there. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's going to affect us all as a whole. That's why everybody's telling everybody to stock up. Just imagine if the world is used to moving, you know, United States is used to moving from mm-hmm. all coasts, and then you got one chopped off. That's a delay on food and supplies for us major, because we're one of us being in Minnesota. We're one of the places that they stop and rest.
Right.
A lot of the truckers got to take, you know, that from trucking, my understanding, it goes from the East Coast to the Midwest. Then they got to stop for 8 to 14 or 12 hours or something. At least in that time. Mm-hmm. Huh?
I think it's
at least 8 hours of sleep. But I believe that they don't want them back driving for 14 hours. Like, they let them go a straight 16, but then you got to take off a 14.
Right.
Wow. So in that time, you get a chance to sleep, and you get a chance to eat, and you get a chance to, you know, maybe see a little part of the city or something. Right. Right. We're one of the major, even from down south and even from California, if you're coming from California, it takes like 30 hours to get to California from Minnesota, right?
Yeah.
Minnesota has to take a break. You have to take a break. You don't get to drive a straight 30 hours. You get delusional, you know?
Yeah, you will.
So you got to stop at about the 16 mark,
mm-hmm.
right? And you take that break, and then you can start back up, and then you'll land here. So that's what I'm saying. They give them the time and opportunity to take the break, to rest their body, like I said, and to maybe stop and, you know, maybe eat or something. But I know that with one part of the country being down, it definitely will affect us.
It'll affect us. Yeah. Well, yeah. We're just hoping that, I don't know, but.
And so for the rest of the, what we had as far as women, there was a list of the most influential women of for 2024 for women, right?
Mm-hmm.
Greta, you heard of her? Greta Gerwig.
Greta.
How she chooses. No, it's G-R-E-T-A. What am I saying? Greta. Okay. On how she chooses projects that excite her, right? I guess she is what does she do? She's a woman of the year of 2024 in the Time magazine. She is a great thrill that get a figure out of how to build my wings. I don't know. They gave her a woman of the year.
Woman of the year. Okay.
Oh, she did an interview with Lucy Feldman. She's the senior executive for Time magazine, right? She did an interview with her.
Okay.
She's 40 years old, and she's the first person to have her first 3 solo feature films. Oh. Lady Bird, Little Women, and Barbie.
Okay.
Each nominated as Best Picture through in an award Academy winning, you know, all 3 films. And she's 40 years old. And her films topped $1.4
billion
for Barbie. Yeah, that was her.
Okay.
So she's pretty big. And then Taraji.
Taraji is part of that list.
Nice. Yep, Taraji knows her worth.
Mm-hmm.
And she's her characters who catapult off the screen with charismatic. I don't know. I'm not even going to try to kill that word. I can't pronounce it. Defiance. That's what it looks like. Defiance and tenacity. She ruled the network television for 6 years for Cookie the Lion. Yep, we like her for Empire, right? Is that her famous part that you like her for?
I think I like her for Hustle and Flow.
Okay. Yeah. I honestly like her
with Jody.
I like her with that with Baby Boy. I like her better in that movie because that I don't know, that resonated with me. It's a little more realistic for what I've went through in life. And I think each character that she plays, people, I also like her. Was it for Color Women to where they were in that pilots? What movie was she in where they were women pilots?
Yes. Oh, God. I forgot the name.
Yeah. I don't like her in The Color Purple. I didn't like her as Shug Avery. I didn't like that.
No, I don't like her as Shug Avery.
I like her.
I like her on Acrimony.
Acrimony?
The crazy, deranged ex-wife, which they're coming out with part two of that. And I can't wait to see it. I'm thinking I thought she died, but I'm under the impression that she was talking to a therapist about this whole thing.
With the big mix up with Oprah.
It was with I forgot the guy's name, but she was married to him, and he kept on talking about this invention he wanted. You know, the invention he was making, and it took him 20 years to pop off. But by that time, he lost their house. He lost a lot of stuff. Yes, girl, you got to go back and look at it. It's really good. And I think, this is how I feel, that she was playing it all out in her mind that this stuff was happening. And then what she wanted to do, and she's telling this to the psychiatrist. That's what I'm thinking, because they coming out with a part two. The part two gets to be, you know what I'm saying? I thought everybody died.
Okay. Oh, that was the name of the movie. It was, you're the one you like, they're not showing it, but they're showing Hidden Figures. That's the one that I like.
Yeah,
she was a NASA mathematics, Katherine Johnson. That's the movie I liked her in a lot.
Yes, very smart and intellectual movie. That's, you know, and it was a true story.
And your movie, it's says she testified in front of the Congress about mental health from the movie that you're talking about. That's what made her talk about mental health in front of the Congress.
Yes.
Yeah, so she wanted to get was on her quest to get laws passed for mental health because of the movie, the role she played in that movie.
Yes, and she played it very well.
What's it called?
Acrimony.
Acrimony, yeah. Okay, yep. And then another woman of the year was what's her name? She said, this woman's name, what's this woman's name? Her name is Marilena Fetzo. Mm. She's a woman of the year. She suffered from nausea and vomiting, as roughly as 70% of pregnant people do, and pushed through until the symptoms lessened with time. Her second pregnancy, she talks about she had another bad pregnancy and then forcing her to get home with an IV and nourishment. So she's 56 and she's a clinical assistant professor at the University of Southern California.
Okay.
And they gave her Woman of the Year by pushing for doctors to change the diagnosis of for morning sicknesses. I guess for people to get like time off. She gone on to research breast cancer at the University of California, San Francisco, and multiple sclerosis at the University of California, Los Angeles.
Okay.
So she's the one that's setting up surveys online about, you know, before you have any of these tests done, you do a, I guess you do the research or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's what it's looking like her push was. And then lastly, there was, let's see, what's the next woman of the year? We'll do a jump. It's a bunch, but we'll jump down
we're going to get bringing them more every week for the whole month. So,
okay. Well, yeah, that's it for now. So what did you find out about who is this guy? Can you tell the audience about the guy that owns, who is a Universal Music Group?
Hold on one
second. This is, of course, about the Diddy case. Yes. And how that's been an ongoing rabbit hole that somebody every week is suing him about something. So,
yes. So we're going to talk about Lucian Grange.
Uh-huh.
He was born February 1960. So he just had a birthday on the 29th. So, you know, he party. And I'll be shocked who was all at his party. Okay.
Right.
So Lil Rod has in his lawsuit paperwork, right, about Lucian, which he is the British executive officer of Universal Music Group.
Okay, so he's a big
guy
in the music industry.
Yes. Right. He began his as an AR group writer since the 1970s. So he's been in the business. He done seen people come and go throughout for a long time. So, well, this man supposedly, allegedly, go visit P. Diddy. And when he's with P. Diddy, he's in P. Diddy's bedroom, not the living room, not the bathroom, but his bedroom for hours. This is in the court documents. This man is in the in P. Diddy's bedroom with him together for hours, they say.
My thing with that, with all these people having these allegations of, you know, somebody could have came over and visited you and been in there for 10 seconds and transferred a conversation you know, had to have a private conversation outside of the other people's, you know, presence. And my thing is, if Diddy has kids that live in his house with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm quite sure that all these things, some of these things that people's making up are saying, stating or whatever. Some of it could be like a little, you know, a lot of extras on it. Because the way that the children cherish and love him, right? Some other stepkids and cousins, nephews, and all that, the way that these family members care about him and love, you know, I'm gonna say that consciously, a person, being as though there would be a bunch of his own children around, that he don't want these images portrayed as him. Mm-hmm. You know, he would be a little more cautious on people seeing certain things. So a lot of this stuff is getting so much that it's almost to the point where you're thinking, like, why did it take y'all so long to tell these things that y'all saying happen?
Right.
I'm feeling like it's a little extra.
Well, this Rod guy, Rodney, Lil Rod.
Yeah.
He's only been dealing with P. Diddy about a year now. He helped produce the album, the Love album. So this is some stuff he's seen within the year of hanging with P. Diddy. So it's curious. Hey, the documents is crazy. So
the things that this man is saying that Diddy is as seasoned as he is, that he would allow those type of things to be. And then he said that the young Miami's cousin forced herself onto him to have sex with him. And Young Miami was involved in all of this stuff. And now they're saying that she's stating that he's he blackballed her. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just like, I don't know. It's becoming overwhelming and a little bit too much.
Yes, but it's stuff going on. You can't hide the fact that stuff is going on.
Yeah, I mean, there's stuff going on. But what's truth and what's a lie? You know what I'm saying? Right, at this point, right. It's like, well, who's telling the truth? If you witnessed all these things, it take you this long for you to say these things? And then I feel like he came out and said it because, like you stated, it was a year and a half that he hung with him, but he won his money.
He supposedly have pictures of a lot of stuff in these documents.
Well, he didn't show him.
We got it. Oh, it's in the documents. He ain't show him, but it's the lawyer probably told him he about to sat down.
Yeah. I mean, because somebody is, at some point is coming for somebody going to get hurt. All of it.
And you know what? He is scared about it. So,
I mean, if he ain't scared, some part of it is true, right? Some part of it is.
Yeah.
But yes, y'all, check us out on Friday. We will be covering news, politics, and entertainment that will happen within these next 24 hours. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you Friday.
See you guys Friday.